Rise and shine, rise and shine. Hey, Hardy, wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding. If we could ask for your cooperation, would you all please remain seated?
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Banshee Fall and you want to have a Prance and Hansel all in fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Mr. Nightlinger, what's for breakfast?
Dude, apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit. Let's go.
You're on the High Ground with Craig Flowers.
Well, Johnny Oates, it's good to be back with you. Are you ready this morning from the banks of 360?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Allons-y!
Let's go.
Good morning, Texas! Good morning, Texans, and everybody, anybody that's getting here as fast as you possibly can or could. But remember why you came, just like they told you on the big ugly tailgate, and remember what you left. Don't mess with Texas. Yes, indeed, there are a lot of states that are great, but let's remember, there's only one great state.
Learn it, know it, live it.
Live from the banks of 360, you are listening to The High Ground. We are digital and online streaming at the Horn app and at hornfm.com, AM 1260, 1019, 1049, and all for you in the great state of Texas. And joining us live in studio this morning is the one and only, the pride of East Austin, with the world's friendliest Wattweiler and the most incredible cold and hot tub in East Austin, the one and only Jamie Frazier.
Good Jamie. Morning, Colonel. Get the
Am I talking about Jamie Frazier? That's indeed. My friends, good to hear your voice again. I'm glad you were on there with the big ugly tega. You've been up since Christ was a corporal about 4:30 this morning, doing great things in East Austin. You're sitting there with W. Brown.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Boy, so much to talk about today, and of course we got to talk about Sportsman's Finest, who is the sponsor of the High Ground, title sponsor about a couple of years now, and just got a lot of great things going on there. And Jamie, I know you and I both use Sportsman's Finest as our go-to place for everything in archery, hunting, and fly fishing.
Oh yeah, that's where I got my 300 blackout. I mean, they're got big shout out to their gunsmith. They've worked on a few of my long rifles, and I tell you, they are the best. If you can go outdoors, go out with them. They're the best.
No question about it. Listen, I've got something coming up here that I'm kind of nervous about, and I do have to go by and see Nicholas Vidros and all the folks over there at the fishing department, because I'm gonna be fishing on Lake Amstead with Denny Brower.
Well, you're going down to South Texas, huh?
I am.
And
I am.
You had Denny on the show just a little bit ago.
That was about half a year ago. We were talking to him.
And we've become, we're kind of crawl, walk, run in this relationship. Yeah. But he's invited me to be on his boat with him the 29th and 30th of March. Monday and Tuesday, fishing against another boat with these other two gentlemen, two brothers that are supposed to be pretty good fishermen. But I'm starting to get a little nervous because I'm so nervous that I had that reoccurring dream that we, show up at school and we don't have our paper or test or, you're not dressed or whatever it is. And I had a dream the other night that I arrived at Lake Amstead to fish with Denny Brower on day one, and I didn't have any of my gear rigged up. And I'm just sitting in the back of the boat with a ham sammy going, what do I need to be throwing? Which is such a stupid dream.
Well, they drop people off on their side of the border that do that.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
The people that aren't ready, they're going to drop you off. That line runs across the water, I think.
You're right, it does. But Denny is the only, bass master champion, I guess, that he's the only professional bass fisherman that's ever appeared on the cover of a Wheaties box to give you an idea if you don't know who Denny Brower is. And I'm just I can't believe I'm going to get this opportunity. But there's a I've got to ask Casey about this, although he's all backed up with all kinds of work. But there's a lure out there. I know Denny when we had him on the segment on the High Ground, he talked about the Thunder Cricket, which is a great lure. But there's a Frog Plopper, and not to be confused with a Whopper Plopper, not to be confused with Whataburger. But the Frog Plopper is a great bait that I've got to get my hands on before I go fishing with Denny Brower. And why am I mentioning Denny Brower? Because he's caught more 15-pound bass than anyone on the planet, and he's released them all. But, gentlemen, you may not know this, and then I'm going to kick it to you, Jamie, for the morning story, for the Chisos Boots morning story. But you may not know this, but last week on Lake Travis, the old lake record was 13 pounds, a 13-pound largemouth caught in 1993. But that record was shattered last week on Lake Travis by a 15-year-old who caught a 15-pound 3-ounce bass on Lake Travis, setting a new Lake Travis record. How about that?
Wow.
That's a big boy.
That's a big boy right there.
It's sad that he's 15 years old and now he's got to try to top that for the rest of his
life.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, it's all over, kid.
Way to peak early, son.
So he donated the fish right away, and Jamie, we had this segment on as well in one of our previous shows, the Sharalunker, the Texas Sharalunker program. And this 15.32-pound bass, new Lake Travis record, was entered into the Sharalunker program. So this 15-year-old will get a replica of the fish. It was 28 inches long. I don't know what the heck he was using. I would love to know, though, if someone can find that out. But the kid lives in Buda. And now is the record holder, and I'll kick it over to you, Jamie, for this morning's you-know-what.
All right, we're going to Chief Texan over there, or just over his shop yesterday. If you got some boots, if you want some cowboy boots, get on over to 3507 East, or South First Street and say hi to the Chief Texan over there, Chisos Boots, Will Roman. But those boots, they feel like leather slippers. And that brings us up to this morning's morning story.
The morning story.
Well, Colonel, we've been kind of running around trying to show people what Austin, Texas is all about, and what the names of things and the backgrounds of what you might want to know, Dish Falk Park and
Dish Falk Field and Downsfield and all
Downsfield
that stuff.
And all that stuff. We're going to go to a trip to the future now, because the new basketball stadium that's coming up, it's going to be amazing. It's it's called the Moody Center, not to be confused with the Moody Theater, but the Moody Center, and they're sponsored by the same family, the Moody family. That are very, they're big into taking care of Texas and promoting Texas and education and children funds. So it's going to be amazing. It's a $338 million project. It's happening right over there off of I-35, right on UT campus, right over by the memorial for the DKR.
It's going to sit right behind that new south end zone of DKR. Right.
They've got like five cranes.
Yeah, I saw a picture of their day. Yeah.
Over there. But the new Moody Center, UT's basketball arena of the future, $338 million arena capacity is for basketball. They say it's right around approximately about 10,000 people, which is actually smaller than the Irwin Center. But for like music events and everything else, they say they can sit up to approximately 15,000 people. It's due to open. This thing's getting built fast. It's due to open April 2022. It was built on private donations on UT property using none of the university or public funding. So it was all money coming in. The Minister of Culture, Matthew McConaughey, is he's really involved in that. He just tweeted out a picture of a drawing, a schematic of what, and it was like hand drawn, like he drew it, and he's showing like what they're gonna have, which is I don't know what his deal is with the university on the project, but he is very involved. They say they're gonna have 500 luxury seats for the Texas season ticket holders, which I don't know what a luxury seat looks like.
Rubbing elbows,
but who doesn't want to have that? And the mezzanine level, there'll be 6,000, be able to sit 6,000 people. And he's saying that they're going to, in the lower bowl, the entire lower bowl, they're going to sit 8,380 people. Math doesn't work out.
But yeah, that's about, more than 10.
Yeah, but I think he was pushing, but that came straight from.
Is that green lights right there? Matthew McConaughey? Is that green lights math right there?
That's it. I don't know.
8,000 plus 6,000 equals 10,000?
And then, of course, CDC, the athletics director, stated when Moody opens, it will be the finest basketball arena, hands down. So,
yeah, might have to go down there to the Moody Center.
The Moody Center. But the Moody Foundation donated $130 million for, and they got the naming rights to the Moody Center, which is interesting because I was like, a lot of people, we go by, like, the Moody Bank right there off 15th Street.
That's the same thing.
Yeah,
same family.
Same family. Mm-hmm. And they're big from, they're from Galveston.
Is this the same name as the theater also?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same Moody Theater, and that's what mm-hmm. they say, don't get confused, the Moody Theater, the Moody Theater, and the Moody Center. But the, and the Moody Bank, when you go up there, which is no longer the Moody Bank, but it's still up there on the side of it. But the, it was interesting. William J. Moody is the patriarch of the family, and, you know, he was back in, you know, he graduated from college in, like, the 1850s. He came from Essex County, Virginia, and got his law degree, and he moved out to Texas. And the funny part, in, like, in the summer of 1861, Moody organized Company G of the 7th Texas Infantry and served as a captain of the company. He was captured during the Civil War for 6 months, and they prison exchanged him, and he got back into
battle. Is that right?
Yeah.
He was caught by the North, the Union?
He was caught by the North, and they did a prisoner exchange, and he got out, and then he was on to fight a whole bunch of battles in Mississippi, actually. They exchanged him in 1862. He was captured in 1861. He was in prison for 6 months. He then came back, they swapped out, he came back and started fighting again. 1863, he was in campaigns in Mississippi, commanded for bravery in the Battle of Raymond on May 12th. And July 10th, he was wounded while fighting near Jackson, Mississippi, and was sent back to Texas, Austin, Texas, to recover, and was promoted from captain to colonel. I mean, that's a... How long did it
take? That's one
you?
Way to do it.
Yeah, how long did it take you to get from captain to colonel there, Colonel Craig Flowers?
It took me about 15 years.
Yeah, well, you could have done it a little bit quicker if you were here. But it's a very interesting. Then after the war, he moved his family to Galveston and began working in the cotton industry and was a very successful businessman, developed railroad lines into the island of Galveston, and he was on the... He founded the Galveston Cotton Exchange, and he was promoted to by the governor there, who was named Richard Koch, in 1873 to be the Texas financial agent at by the governor of, and Richard Koch did. But it's his family then got into banking, and the Moody Bank soon merged in with the National Bank of Texas. That's why you see the Moody Bank on the wall, but they merged with the National Bank of Texas. But it's a very interesting thing, especially, I mean, the thing that struck me in the cancel culture is that...
Well, he's in the Confederate side of the...
He was a Confederate colonel, and we've named so many things about him. So I don't know if anybody looked at that. I was just doing a little bit of research.
Well, one other thing that I did a little bit of research on him, too, is that he was very instrumental in dredging out the port in Galveston, which was a big deal for the Texas economy, which made that area the main port for that area. And he was a very instrumental entrepreneur in that part.
And since that time frame, he's pretty much the patriarch of the whole thing. You know, he's had his sons, and the family still stay involved. Very, they're philanthropists.
Do you think this will be brought up?
I don't think it will.
I don't think anybody knew.
Yeah. I don't think anybody knew. But they're you know, very giving and you know, they're philanthropists and they've supported the Moody Theater. They've supported, you know, many things throughout.
Absolutely.
The state of Texas.
Their money is going to really good causes.
Yeah. Well, that's your little tidbit of this morning's Chiso's morning story.
Fascinating. I did not know that, Jamie.
No, I don't think anybody
knew. What I've got to figure out coming back from the break here is what's going to be the first lure that I'm going to make my first cast with Denny Brower on the 29th and 30th. I'm leaning towards a 7.5-inch culprit worm is what I'm leaning towards, a motor oil. But text in what lure you think I'll make the first cast with in my efforts to hang with the great Denny Brower. We'll be back from the banks of 360. Johnny Oates.
Cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Ah, you bet. We are pretty good at drinking beer here on the high ground from the banks of 360 on a gorgeous Saturday morning in Austin, Texas. Gorgeous throughout the West. And I'll tell you, Jamie, several seasons coming up that we have to talk about. One of them is taboo. I know you don't like to discuss it, but Texter has brought it up this morning. But one of the seasons that's coming up is turkey season, my friend.
Turkey season.
That's right. It's thunder chicken season coming up. And
spring turkey season. What's the difference between the regular turkey season and spring turkey season?
I'm so glad you asked, my East Austin friend, because I can tell you in the spring, man is trying to call the gobblers to their hunting position so they can organically harvest the protein. But you're trying to mimic a hen and create a gobbler, get a gobbler's attention so he will come to you. And then you can have a moment of truth together. But in the fall, they're not trying to mate. They're just traveling in packs. And so the way you hunt them in the fall is you find where they are. You bust them up by either a number of ways to bust them up. Texters can, you know, you can shoot into them and bust them up, or you can run into them and bust them up and then call them back together. But very different than the spring. The spring is loaded with excitement, and it's very personal because you're actually trying to do the opposite of what Mother Nature intended. Normally, the hens will come to the gobblers, but in this case, you're trying to find a hot gobbler, not to be confused with hot brisket over
so
Whitfields. But
dating
you're trying to, yeah, you're trying to bait the gobblers on in there. So that's one season coming up.
Jamie's got a Tinder app for that.
Yeah, he's got an app for that. And then the other season that you don't like to talk about, and it's one where a previous vice president of these United States wanted to add an E to, is tomato season, my friend.
I thought it was going to be eagle hunting season.
No, it's tomato season. Okay. And Jamie, I know last year you had a bad experience, but as the texter says, you know, they're ready to coach you up on how to produce some fruit, not vegetable, on your tomato plants without an E.
Without an E. Yeah. Well, I mean, it grew like Jack and the Beanstalk, but it didn't produce
any tomatoes
with an E or without an E, either one. And,
yeah. No, you had like 15-foot tomato plants. I'd never seen anything like it. You could have rappelled off these things.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Listen, the young man that caught the 15.32-pound Lake Travis largemouth bass, his name is Trace Jansen, 15 years old, out of Buda. So if you know that young man, congratulate him and his Sherilunker replica. And I've seen one of those. It looks exactly like a skinned mount. Only the epidermis is not showing because it's not a skinned mount.
Where does that fish go?
What do you mean? Where does it go?
No, doesn't it go into an aquarium somewhere?
No, they take so this is a good question.
Because they take it away from the lake, right? And they put it somewhere else. They don't kill the fish, right?
No, they do not kill the fish. It's the Texas Share Lunker program. It's actually, they have these trucks throughout the great state that whenever you call, these guys launch, your gals launch into action, and they meet you. They check the fish. It's got to be 13 pounds or better. And then they take it to a fishery. And then I think we have two or three of them. The biggest one, though, is out in East Texas around Palestine.
I mean, this is a big deal, right?
It's a really big deal because rarely does a fish get over north of 10 pounds, but 15 is extraordinary. So they want to capture those genetics. The fish is well cared for, fed three or four times a day. They've got a great feeding schedule. Jamie and I mean, we broke this thing down.
He won the lottery.
The fish wants to be caught.
Yeah,
it's
you're
like,
right.
Get me
he's like
there.
Jamie's Rottweiler. It's like Jamie's Rottweiler, man. If you ever want to come back as an animal, you want to come back as one of Jamie's Rottweilers.
Oh, absolutely. That dog is spoiled.
Ooh. Yes. So Ooh. This fish will be massaged and carefully hand-fed every day for the rest of her life, because a fish that big is a her, no doubt about it, by the way. And anyway, that's it. Tom Lewin, you remember Neighbor Tom?
Jamie? Who can forget Neighbor Tom?
Neighbor Tom right now, speaking of being where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it, three things that if all teenagers would comply with, they would have much better experiences in life. But Tom Lewin is currently out at Georgetown, winning yet again another car show, this one in support of the great program that's run by my friend General Mike Lennington, the Wounded Warrior Foundation. So congratulations, Tom Lewin, out there with his incredible history. W. Brown, what's going on over there at the 40 Acres? I know you track it a heck of a lot more than Jamie Frazier and I, although I did watch a 14 strikeout performance last night.
You're going to steal my thunder?
Victory. Yeah, a little bit. Go ahead.
No, it's cool. No, you know, Texas played Houston on last night on the road, which was the first time Texas has played in Houston at Houston, I think, in over 20 years. But Ty Madden threw a gem of a game last night, the first complete game shutout by a Horn in over 4 years. Had 14 Ks, won 1-0 last night. Improves Texas is 6-4. They're number 19 in the country. I think Houston's 6-3. They're unranked, but you know the athletes in Houston are always great baseball players. So that was a good start for a series over the weekend there. Over in the basketball, Texas won by 4 over OU on the road. They got out to a strong start like usual. Jamie, we've watched this with Coach Shock and the team. They go lights out in the first half, kind of disappear in the second half for a while, and then have to play catch up. But they did play catch up, won the game. Greg Brown had some athletic plays,
made
some free throws.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's waiting on Greg Brown.
Yeah, yeah. But Jericho Sims had probably one of his better games of the season, had a double-double. They pulled that off. That, you know, any win right now in the Big 12 is a good win right now, and it's good for the resume.
And then when they finish out with the regular season with TCU on the road again.
Is that right? Then they should, hopefully they'll get that win. They can get up to 18-19, close to 20 wins.
And then they'll be the Big 12 conference championships. Yeah. And then they're off to, hopefully, to the dance.
Yeah, and hopefully that. But going back to baseball, you know, it'll be nice to start seeing some of these games here at Dish Falk when the weather starts getting better and all that stuff, and seeing what Pierce and the boys can put together.
Hang out with Fast Eddie out there.
Hang out with Fast Eddie. Obviously, the bats haven't woken up yet, really, so we'll see what happens.
They did the last couple of days, maybe not last night.
Against
just
Texas.
A 1-0.
Yeah, yeah. They played Texas State over the – didn't they get a win there on the Tuesday night?
Yeah, Texas State, yeah.
Yeah, and anyways, yeah, they beat BYU. Well, they beat BYU only 2 out of 3 games, right?
I think it was 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4 is right. A 3 out of 4 game series. Yeah. But anyways, that's kind of what's happened around the 40 acres besides the Sark going all gas, no brakes. You know, those are the two sporting events everybody's watching right now. So.
We were talking about, I don't know, Colonel, you're pretty familiar with the Westlakes, their quarterback?
Yeah, you've heard of this kid, right?
Yeah.
Klubnick, yeah, headed to Clemson.
Heading Clemson?
Did he commit or did he just get an offer?
He got an offer, but he committed.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Okay. Good for him. That kid's a stud.
Verbal commit, who knows? But
you know, this reminds me, you know, it you know, beckons memories of, you know, Drew leaving the great state and, you know, makes me wonder, you know, 5 years from now, are we all going to be scratching our head going, well, you know, how do we miss this once again?
Yeah. Have you seen the kid they have, though, out of California?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I just don't.
Special.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't know how you don't offer that kid. He's got, you know, he's 6'4", legit 220 with a cannon. I mean, it's. I mean, obviously, we would all love to see Klubnik as a horn around here too. But geez, the gene pool out in California is strong.
Well, it is, but I kind of like to keep it in the family.
I know.
It's just, you know, I'm biased like that, and I don't know.
But I heard his parents were Aggies. I heard his parents were Aggies. So, you know. If you're going to go to A&M or go to Clemson, just go to Clemson. If you're not going to go to Texas, go to Clemson.
I don't know.
That's a funny deal. It's, you know, when you think about the game last night, the baseball game, back to the 1-0 shutout, as you said, first time in 4 years, a Longhorn has gone the all nine innings.
Yeah.
And shut it down. If I'm not mistaken, the great Craig Wayne, from what I was following online, I was listening to the game last night. The kid was touching upper 90s, even in the
in the
ninth, which is really. If Greg Swindell's listening, you know that's pretty rare.
Did he pitch a complete game?
Yeah, he did. It was 110 pitches. I read this morning that on the gun he touched 98 in the ninth inning, and there's a couple in the game that he touched 99 and. One of the better games pitched by a Longhorn in the history of, you know, Longhorn pitching.
Win nothing.
No question. And that's an old Southwest Conference rivalry.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, and I heard Chris Almendera earlier in the week talking about that, you know, last time that, you know, they've played down there at that stadium, I think was back in the,
was it 94?
The Southwest Conference days. Yeah.
And, Colonel, you know this better than anybody. Those old Southwest Conference teams, the Houstons of the world, those guys field great athletes. They have really good baseball going on in Houston and Rice.
It's funny, you know, back in those days, we were so, some would say, arrogant about it, but whenever we would talk about baseball, we just refer to the Southwest Conference as the conference. And if you're talking to somebody, you'd say, does he play in the conference? Is he going to play in the conference? Because that was the conference and that everyone wanted to go to. You know, ever since, you know, I think I was probably 10 or 11, 12 years old, I wanted to play in the Southwest Conference. And when, you know, when Gus looked at me and kind of looked me up and down and said, "Well, tell your daddy," I said, "Hello." I knew I wasn't going to be a Longhorn. So the next thing you know, I'm headed to Fort Worth. And anyway, the conference was it. And I was so glad to see that game played again and really to see a Longhorn do as well as he did on the bump. I mean, that's a really remarkable achievement. We'll look back on that as something pretty special because this is you hate to say this, but this is going to come down to the Longhorns and the Horned Frogs, in my opinion. When I look at this, and the Horned Frogs have this little leadoff hitter who's a pretty special player, Nunez, and wears number one, turned down some draft money to go play in Fort Worth, and of course Sunday night switching over to hoops, Jamie Dixon. Who hit about a half-court shot back in 1984 or 5 in Fort Worth to beat the Longhorns. Jamie's got a real task for him coming up because, Jamie, you and I have said from the very beginning that this is the type of Texas team, basketball team, no matter how you feel about them and all their streakiness, that this is a team that can get hot in the tournament. And Sunday will be a good little tune-up for them in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough on them. They've been on the road for now 4 games and then going to the conference championship and then going to the dance. I mean, this is they're really being tested.
You know what though, Jamie? If you watch that team play and you watch it in spurts, I mean, they're one of the better. They're one of the more athletic teams country. And you're in like Colonel's right. I mean, if they can peak at the right time, they can do some damage.
Oh yeah, I believe. I mean, I think they step on the floor with usually the best athletes.
Yeah, if they can quit fighting each other,
that's true.
That would help.
Yeah, when things go wrong, start with yourself, and you'll often find a solution to your problem is a lot closer to your position than you may have realized. No one took your car keys, they're hanging in the door, and your sunglasses are on your hat. And so when things go wrong, whether it's in a family, a company, or organization, or a basketball team, start with yourself, and you'll often find a solution is real close to your own position.
You'll probably find your keys right there, yeah. All right, we'll be back after this break.
Oh, yeah. Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? Well, it will tomorrow night when those Shaka Smarts, the Fighting Shakas, are down at Fort Worth against Jamie Dixon, trying to make it happen for another road win.
And you
Jamie
actually,
Frazier.
You actually know Jamie Dixon.
I know Jamie well. We were classmates, and we lived on the same floor on Milton Daniel Dorm, the baseball team, the basketball team, we all lived, and the track team all lived on the same floor at TCU. And Jamie and I are friends, and of course his sister Maggie Dixon was the head basketball coach at West Point for the Army women's basketball team, and she passed away suddenly at the age of 27 years old while we were there, and Maggie and I were friends as well. But Jamie originally from California, played there with Scotty Brooks. A lot of people don't realize that Scotty Brooks played for TCU as well. Scotty was the head coach for the Oklahoma Thunder for a while. I think he's back in the NBA now.
Oh, wow. Well, it should. I hopefully UT can go in and win it and move on into the conference championship, because you always like to go in with a win, and they got a little streak going right now. It was a great win against Oklahoma. Everyone's kind of waiting for Brown to pop, and he's a one and done guy. We've had success with one and done guys. Obama's a pretty good guy.
There's been some success this year. I mean, Texas did, I think, for the first time, beat Kansas twice in the same season. There's some other things going on.
Let's go back a year. They're ready to fire Shaka at that time. And then all of a sudden.
Well, the missed postseason is right. It could have been the thing that saved his job, and now this is his redemption season. And so I really haven't heard much about his job being discussed, but I would think this team needs to get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
It's perplexing, but the guidance from CDC has been pretty clear.
Be in the top 10. Yeah. Win, baby, win.
Well, and that's how it should be. There's plenty of resources here. I mean, this great city and the greatest state. And, you should track the best athletes in all three of the major sports.
Yeah. And
Jamie, I got to tell you something that happened to me last night.
Please do. We both shall know.
Did you get some more throw pillows?
we did, W. So we've gone from 47 to
God, I didn't mean to get you off track.
We're up to, we've hit that iconic number. We're at 50.
There you go.
Again, I didn't realize that we had purchased not throw pillows, but throw pillow cases. When we were in Morocco, there were handmade just cases, and I hadn't seen these for a while. And so when they were unboxed, they suddenly became apparent what they were. And, of course, we had to fill those cases with said pillows. So now we are at 50. Headed north to 51, as could be as early as today. But
thanks, Debbie.
Back to this. Yeah, thanks, Debbie, for bringing that up.
My bad.
So last night, Miss Beth was where she was supposed to be, doing what she was supposed to be doing when she was supposed to be doing it. Taking care of her mom and being with her sister. And she said, I'll be back, later. This morning, and of course I happen to sleep with Miss Beth, so kind of like your Rottweiler that sleeps in your bed with you, Jamie.
I'm sure Miss Beth would be happy you said that. Yeah.
It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I rolled over, and I hit the. I didn't realize it, but I rolled over on the clicker. Not like Bucky would, but I rolled over on the clicker, and it turned on the television, and immediately I started talking as if Miss Beth had come into the room and turned on the television. I didn't realize I turned it on. And so I have like a 1 or 2 minute conversation going, oh, I can't believe you come in at 1 o'clock and you turn on the television. I mean, really, at least turn it down. And then I paused for a moment and I said, really, this is where you're going to watch a movie at 1 in the morning. And this goes on for like a minute and I'm going, please turn it down. And then after about a minute, I reach over and realize that she's not in the bed. I had just rolled over on the clicker and, nice. You know,
we'll play.
And so I saw her this morning and I started laughing. She said, what? And I said, well, I thought you were laying there with me and decided to watch TV.
Well, she was like, Craig, at 1 in the morning, I was on Amazon buying more throw pillows.
That's it.
I wasn't watching
that's
movies.
That's probably true. Jamie, you're headed out to Valley Mills, I guess. Are you going to go on a turkey recon or are you just going to dial in the arsenal?
Thinking about just shooting guns. Yeah. That's it.
Who's going with you?
I'm actually... meeting a buddy from Dallas that's coming down. One of the guys that I flew with in the squadron, Ernie McGinnis.
You'd have been proud of Jamie if you were in the studio, Colonel. He pointed to San Antonio and he said he's going to go to Dallas.
Yeah.
He pointed south. He couldn't see it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Whatever.
Well, it's... It's funny. I know, you know, you were serving the cause, Jamie. You had, you know, reports, you know, were that you had a house full.
Oh, this during... guy saved my life. Are you kidding me?
You were over there, Devya?
Oh, yeah. He had to come pick me up. I am the most unprepared person for any type of natural disaster ever.
Tell us something we don't know. We've seen it in action.
Yeah, no kidding. But, he came by and grabbed me. Absolutely.
Where did you sleep? Where did you sleep in East Austin?
I slept on the downstairs couch. I brought my dog over, my little Jack Russell. She's a little nervous, so she paced around the house for about 26 miles a day. It was pretty funny.
It's great. She's like, there's a giant Rottweiler here. Why did you bring me to this house?
I was like, because we were freezing at the other one.
Will Brown is with us from Jack Brown Cleaners. How did the... Jack Brown Cleaners.
Oh,
what happens,
man?
We had a
busy week. So between here and San Antonio, we have 12 facilities that produce clothes, which obviously have boilers and air compressors and all that stuff. We were hit pretty good, but not as hard as we could have. I mean, we worked all weekend before to get everything functional. We are functional. We would love to get optimal. We're working on that. But, yeah, everything's going okay now. We're getting rocking and rolling and hopefully get these vaccines out and everybody can start getting back to work and getting dirty again.
Yeah. Isn't it funny, Jamie, that people, who roll their eyes when they see us in four-wheel drive pickups, suddenly, you know, when you need a four-wheel drive,
I know
you get called.
Yeah.
Well, my whole goal in life is to have really good friends that are prepared.
why buy a boat when your friend has
a
boat?
I'm not buying the boat. But
no,
I did teach him how to use his Roku.
No one called the person driving a Prius during that time. Hey, when we come back, it'll be the Texas Wine of the Week delivered by the voice of the Texas Wine, the one and only Jamie Frazier.
Actually, Willie Brown's going to do it this week. Willie's going to do it, yeah.
Nice. Well, I'll let you tee it up. Drew Brown has a couple properties that she's texting me that we want to promote for her.
Absolutely.
So we'll be back from the banks of 360. Johnny Oates.
The Texas Wine of the Week.
BB40.
When you hear that, you know it's time for the Texas Wine of the Week, brought to you by Drew Brown of Wilson and Goldrick. She has two listings in the Eanes, some say Ames, some say Eames. Two listings in the Eames School District. Those two listings are 3111 Mystiglin Circle, and the other one is 3501 Pinnacle Road. Pinnacle Road property is listed at $850,000, and I might have to check that one out myself. But brought to you by Drew Brown, the Texas Wine of the Week, supporting Texas grape growers, winemakers, and the voices, plural, of the Texas Wine of the Week are, of course, the one and only Jamie Frazier and W. Brown.
W is going to take over Wine of the Week for today. This is the Brent Dickey Memorial Wine of the Week. Brent, we love you. We know you're not gone, but just phone home every once in a while. This week, we're going to do an entrepreneurial wine. A girl named Kim Poole from Austin is doing a wine subscription model, and it's the company is Boxt, B-O-X-T. So go ahead and look them up. It's a great little website that features a lot of different wines online. And go to Boxt.com, B-O-X-T. And there's your Wine of the Week, Colonel.
Very, very cool. Jamie Frazier, you can take it from here to kind of sum up what's going on in and around the ATX.
The ATX, everyone's watching to see what's going on with the SARC. We don't know.
Well, the SARC is putting together some good recruiting. Well, that's fun to kind of read about and listen to some of the players.
Right, but they're coming after him right now for the Eyes of Texas again.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, I read about that. Fill me in on that.
Well, no, it's going to raise his head because when he first accepted the job, he's like, "Hey, yeah, we're all on board for the Eyes of Texas. It's part of this school song." Some of the former players and players are now doing a little Twitterverse that, you know, it's an offensive song to some people. Some people have different, they all have different opinions on it. So, I mean, it cracks me up a little bit, not the situation, but you know, you come to a new job and you want to get a football team. He's gone out and got some great coaches, great players, great recruits, got some great commitments, but he's got to concentrate on, you know, that team.
Politics.
And politics. He does.
Yeah, that
and
comes with the job, doesn't it?
You walk right into the buzzsaw. Here you go, you know.
Well, I mean, hopefully he's more Mac Brown than John Makovic or Tom Herman when it comes to this.
Well, we do have a Tom Herman report. He does have a job.
Well, good for him. What's he doing?
He is going to be on the Chicago Bears staff as, I believe, an offensive analyst.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not telling them when to run fourth down plays.
I don't know.
Hopefully he's not the game manager.
I knew the Colonel was worried if Tom was going to get a paycheck or not. But, he's on the pro team now. Everyone's going up. I'm really interested in watching I've said this before, but interested in seeing what the Jaguars do. You know, you got a college football coach now loading up and I believe
they had a little woke moment there with the strength and conditioning coach that they fired and had to – or hired and then fired quick.
I didn't
see
that one.
They hired a guy that had some I think it was some racist comments out there that – He had a little track record behind him, and then Urban hired him, and everybody kind of found out what he did at a former stop, and
well,
they released him real quick.
You know, Craig's friend Les Miles is now on the sideline. Craig, why don't you tell me about your opinion on what's going on in the LSU program?
He's just not known for chewing grass now, is he?
Yeah, I mean that.
We say that lightheartedly, and I get it. The Les Miles clap comes to mind, and some listeners are doing the Les Miles clap right now, in fact. But the I saw the Mad Hatter at the American Football Coaches Association, I think it was a year ago or two years, I guess, because I actually saw him. We were there, and not doing a virtual deal. And like Aaron Hogan talked about this week, you know, there was a camera crew following him around, and he was in a suit that it looked like Hollywood had made it, and it just appeared. Look, I'm a Dave Beatty guy. I think Dave Beatty needed another 2 years there, and it was on the right track. When you look at Dave Beatty and Turner Gill, both men of character who happened to win. if you give them enough time, they can build a heck of a program. And I'm just, you know, I went to graduate school at KU in Lawrence, and during the Jacques Vaughn basketball
Jacques
years,
Vaughn.
But I watched them actually in football. I went to a football game, watched them beat Oklahoma. I mean, at KU, and you know, I don't understand the issue there. It's, you know, it starts at the top like it does in most organizations, and you had a guy there, Dave Beatty, who was a Texan, and of course I'm going to be biased along those lines, but Dave Beatty's a great coach and who will win if given enough time, and is a great developer of young men. So I like that. But you know, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm @JCraigFlowers, and I posted something this morning of the great David Thomas, who of course last week was with us in Abilene, and you know, when I see David Thomas, I'm just reminded of you know what, when you have extraordinary talent and extraordinary character, that's a recipe that just wins not only on the fields and courts and tracks of friendly strife, but in life as well. And I put that up there on the Twitter @JCraigFlowers. So anyway, KU, what a trip. Les Miles.
Well, you think
really
Les Miles
to hear that.
You think Les Miles calls Governor Cuomo for vacationing tips?
But I'm
sorry.
But that whole program, kind of LSU program, and you know, not to get off on LSU, but I mean, their coach now had a few problems, and you know, it kind of imploded after they won the championship.
Yeah,
and you know, Les Miles, who's in a whole different state now, is they're pulling it back, and they're like, "Well, Les, going to give you some time off, go chew some AstroTurf."
Yeah,
yeah.
What would you think about Les at LSU? I mean, he kind of gets the label of winning with some of Saban's players, right?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, I don't know. He spent all that time at Oklahoma State. He's kind of, Mac was his daddy for a long time. Goes to LSU, gets a title, but I mean, it's kind of like Barry Switzer getting a title in Dallas.
No. I tell you what, it cracks me up because I don't know why, but I usually cancel the NFL Network during non-NFL period.
Yeah.
And like, NFL never stops. I mean, we're talking about Dak Prescott and what he's going to franchise tag.
That's going to be interesting.
You've got, like, you know, Russell Wilson. Everyone's looking where he might go, mm-hmm. and then you've got the draft coming up in a month.
And there's a handful of really good quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, and it's going to be a carousel.
Starting with the Golden Boy, Trevor Lawrence, the can't miss. That kid has more pressure on him than anybody, doesn't he?
Oh man, he's got beautiful hair.
He does. Like, yeah, that's right, yeah, man. That's right. I'm a trendsetter. He's a trend follower.
No, but I can't wait. And I have no idea who's going to be quarterbacks at so many different teams this year.
Hey, I can tell you this though: Matthew Stafford will be in LA.
He will, and Goff will be.
Yes,
in
and
Detroit.
Goff will be assembling car parts.
But my best thing is Curry. He'll be a multimillionaire assembling car parts.
That's right. That's right. You can put that Ford hood ornament on real good.
Hey, I can see Russell in Dallas.
I would love that. I would love that.
I mean, everyone's looking where Russell and Watson's going to end up. I mean, they're talking maybe Watson be the good fit in Dallas. And
I think so too. Yeah. There's so many good. But, I mean, you're working with some nice parts over there. There's some Ferraris in that huddle.
What kind of parts are you going to put in New Orleans? I mean,
there's a lot of good parts there too. Yeah. I mean, that's a good option to go play QB also.
I mean, Taysom's not your drop back quarterback,
man. But Kamara and Thomas and those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got
cast of thousands.
And Peyton is such an offensive genius.
But how much are you willing to give away of that magical, you know, maybe they need a Kamara.
I'm telling you this, that Jameis Winston is not your answer. I don't care. He's just not your answer.
Well, hey, Colonel, what'd you think of old Watson end up in Arizona? You know?
Yeah,
JJ.
I think that would be, something that Cliff probably doesn't want, quite honestly. But I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, you mentioned Ferraris, W. Look, you know, whenever I hear Ferraris, it kind of piques my interest because Ferraris are expensive to buy.
Mm-hmm.
They're very powerful. They're very mm-hmm. sexy. They're very fast.
Mm-hmm.
But they're expensive to also insure.
Yeah.
They're expensive to repair.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look like a real jerk driving a Ferrari.
Yeah. Sounds like marriage.
Jamie, you're right, though, on the NFL. You know, it's like this is the song that never ends.
Yeah.
Somebody started singing it not knowing what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, Ferrari and 9 inches of snow in Austin, Texas, not going to get you that where you want to go.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know what? They're fun, but they're not functional.
They're right. And, you know, you may have a great summer with a Ferrari. You may have a great season with a Ferrari. But over time, you know, I'll take the four-wheel drive and something you can count on. Four-wheel drive, you don't need it till you need it. And then that little Ferrari, you keep paying the insurance on it. You keep paying the repairs and the maintenance, but it sits in the garage during tough times.
You know what? If I'm driving a Ferrari, I'm not worrying about the maintenance cost.
No, that's a good point.
Hey, that's a great point. We will see you in the high ground, Colonel.
I will be maybe back in studio sitting right next to you next week.
Awesome.
Then I head out to Abilene, and then, of course, I've got a Monday and a Tuesday with the great Denny Brower.
Nice.
The Thunder Cricket.
Well, we will see you, sir. Great talking with you.
Gentlemen, we'll see you on the high ground. Johnny Oates.